Okay, today is May the 10th, 2016. I'll remind you about the picnic that's going to be this Saturday in at Lost Pines outside of Bastrop. Actually, it's not close to any. Well, it's close to Smithfield. Yeah, I think it's about 4 or 5 miles outside of Smithfield. And we're going to caravan from here or carpool. Some people can leave their car here and ride with others, or some can just follow us, whatever they want to do. And we're going to meet here at 10 o'clock sharp, and because we don't want to be waiting on people, because I'm cutting it pretty close time-wise. So we're going to be here at 10 o'clock and leave, and the picnic actually starts at noon. So I think that I have a map, just so if people don't know where Smithfield is, there's a, here's a map of it. Let's see if everything, it would work if I turned it on. Yeah, it's working okay. And it would work even better then if I plug it in. That's the only two things I forgot to do, otherwise than that I was ready. Well, I guess while that's coming up, we could prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are our rock. You change not. We live in a world that's gone mad, but we can still have stability, courage, and confidence because of who and what you are. You never leave us or forsake us, and because of your phenomenal word. We pray that you will help us to not be distracted and focus on your word to the point that we are able to handle all the exigencies of life and apply principles found in your word to our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There it is. This is Brenham here. And we're going to leave and go down 290 until we get over past Burton. And this is 237 coming down this way. And we take it all the way to what is it?
LaGrange.
That's what I'm saying. LaGrange. And then it turns into 71, and we go out here, and this is where it is. Bastrop is over here. And so, see, it's not all that far. Elgin is up here, Manor, before you get to Austin over this way. Figure it'll take about an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes at the most. And so that's the route we're going to take right through there. So, and the address is 115 Ponderosa Road.
A.
Huh?
Letter A. 115 A.
He didn't have an A on it. A. Well, it's A then, if you want to put an A. Bastrop, Texas. And if you just Google this, 115 Ponderosa Road, Bastrop, it'll take you right there, show you where. It's on the left side of the highway. And it's the only way you can turn. The road is right there. So, that is for the picnic. And I think what I'm going to do, while I still have it up, is remember I told you I was going to give you a 5-minute YouTube by Judge Andrew Napolitano? Well, we're going to give it a shot tonight. See if it'll work. It only lasts 5 minutes. He was, if you'll turn these off overhead here, he was an employee, I guess you would say, of Fox News, and they said after this he was fired. That's what I heard. Let's see, I need to get my...
He's still on there, still.
Yeah, he comes there time to time, but he was a regular.
He was a regular contributor. Now he's not. He's an
About 5 minutes ago, the audio was working.
There it is.
I know, but I'm not hearing. I just brought him up, made sure everything was working. Let's try it now. Did y'all hear him just a while ago when I
heard it a while ago? Yeah.
Okay, the only thing I know to do is this will take a moment. Is I'm going to let him go. We're going to go back here and we're going to paste this in here and then we're going to bring it up. Evidently, if you wait over just a minute or two, the audio won't kick in here. Let's see if this is going to work now.
Does the audio have the speaker on?
Yeah. Everything is on. Well,
we turn on the television or if we turned it on?
No, it should be on.
No, it don't work. Oh, it don't work.
As my dad would say, that takes the rag off the bush.
He got knocked out of electricity.
Something. Okay, I'm going to try one more thing. Now, I got completely out. And now I'm going to bring up the internet. This only happens when people are waiting. If I when I got in the truck or got home and tried this, bang, it'd be right there. That's not coming up soft. Okay, well, we're going to move on. We'll get it another day. Go ahead and hit the lights, if you will, Cindy. What I'm going to do is not bring it up at all next time until it's time to have it. Because I just brought it up 3 or 4 minutes before and just paused it.
Yeah,
it worked perfect before I paused it, and then now it won't come up at all. So, but we have a lot to cover tonight. I don't know if y'all keep up with the news, but there is so much happening. We are digressing at a rapid pace, and if the brakes aren't thrown on this machine that is just kind of taking over control, then I don't know even what's going to happen before the end of the year. A lot of things could happen, but I've got about 5 or 6 things to show you. I think the first one I'll do is bring up an update on Judge Roy Moore. I think I'll just bring it up big enough where y'all can see it as I... Well, y'all see it already. You remember I talked about this Sunday. And I had a lot of people that emailed me and said that they would like a copy of what I read of that article. And so this is giving an update on this. This is dated 5/10, which is today. This came from the Washington Standard, May 8th. By Tim Brown. A formal complaint was filed Friday against Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore by an Alabama judicial oversight body claiming that he flagrantly disregarded and abused his authority in ordering the state's probate judges to refuse application for marriage licenses by same-sex couples. The New York Times reports, as a result of the charges, Chief Justice Moore, 69, has been immediately suspended from the bench and is facing potential hearing before the state's court of judiciary. Have y'all ever heard of a court, such a court? A panel of judges, lawyers, and other appointees, among possible outcomes as such a hearing would be removal from office, and I'm told that's already happened. He's already been removed. We intend to fight this agenda vigorously and expect to prevail. Chief Justice Moore said in a statement saying that the Judicial Inquiry Commission, which filed the complaint, had no authority over the charges at issue. Referring to a transgender activist in Alabama, Chief Justice Moore said, the commission had chosen to listen to the people like Ambrosia Starling, a professed transvestite, and other gay, lesbians, and bisexual individuals, as well as organizations which support their agenda. These sodomite communist supporters don't know what they are getting themselves into. Justice Moore is not one to be bullied into submission, especially by the sodomites and their supporters. The court rendered a 170-page ruling in favor of a petition for mandamus by Liberty Counsel rejecting the U.S. Supreme Court marriage opinion. 170 pages of it. Moore is merely upholding the Alabama state constitution, which was amended in 2006 to read the following. This is what he is standing on because it is the law in Alabama. It's not a statute. The constitution was amended to say this. A, the amendment shall be known as and be cited as the sanctity of marriage amendment. Marriage is inherently a unique relationship between a man and a woman. As a matter of public policy, this state has a special interest in encouraging, supporting, and protecting this unique relationship in order to promote, among other goals, the stability and welfare of society and its children. A marriage contracted between individuals of the same sex is invalid in this state. C. Marriage is a sacred covenant solemnized between a man and a woman, which when the legal capacity and consent of both parties is present, establishes their relationship as a husband and wife, and which is recognized by the state in a civil contract. When it says when the legal capacity and consent of both parties is established, the legal capacity would be, for one, they'd have to be a certain age. Before the state would recognize their marriage and so forth. Then D says, no marriage license shall be issued in the state of Alabama to parties of the same sex. E, the state of Alabama shall not recognize as valid any marriage of parties of the same sex that occurred or was alleged to have occurred as a result of the law of any jurisdiction, regardless of whether a marriage license was issued. So if a same-sex couple came from another state and had got a marriage license in another state, this is saying Alabama wouldn't recognize it. The state of Alabama shall not recognize as valid any common law marriage of parties of the same sex. And then G, a union replicating marriage of or between persons of the same sex in the same state of Alabama or in any other jurisdiction shall be considered as treated in all respects as having no legal force or effect in this state and shall not be recognized by this state as a marriage or union replicating marriage. That's pretty, I would say, ironclad, covered the bases. Clearly the federal courts and this lawless judicial body are attempting to overthrow the law and establish a dictatorship through the D.C. government. If only we would deal with sodomites in the same manner our founding fathers did, we wouldn't be allowing the lawless to dictate what should be law and redefine marriage. He's not pulling punches, is he? Chief Justice Roy Moore has told state judges not to disregard the ruling of the federal court on Alabama's constitution and marriage. He made the case for what marriage is and where the right to marriage comes from God. That sounds like he didn't command it. It sounds like he told them, kind of gave them some leeway to decide for themselves. Does it sound like that to you? That kind of sounds like what it sounds like to me. Moore encouraged Governor Robert Bentley to resist federal tyranny in the matter, but Bentley seems to be more geared towards political correctness than he does the truth about rights, marriage, and his duty to the people of Alabama. And that's really sad because if the governor would stand up of Alabama and have the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama both stand up to the federal government, I think it would make a big difference. And what they did was they sued the federal government, because what was happening was the State Department, under the leadership of Loretta Lynch, was telling them, you have to, we're going to void this amendment that you have in your Constitution. We're going to void that Constitution in your state. And they saw what was happening, so instead of being on the defense, they struck first on the offense, and they sued the federal government over this. And then I think it was yesterday, the federal government sued them, countersued. So it's going through the courts, and I don't think that is the way to handle it, but that's why they did. Led by Justice Moore, the Alabama Supreme Court also put a halt to illegal same-sex marriages across the state back in March 2015. Across the state back in March 2015. Moore is the same judge who stood against the D.C. government's infringement upon the 10th Amendment and stepping out of their jurisdiction to try and remove the Ten Commandments from the wall of his courtroom. And what this doesn't say is that he was removed from office even then, and because he wouldn't back down. He said, you have no jurisdiction here, you have no constitutional authority to do this, and they did it anyway, and they removed him from office. And the very next election, he won overwhelming and was put back in office again. And now he's standing again firm for what is right for the Constitution. He is a hero, and yet he is being maligned and vilified in the media, and a lot of people are seeing to be somewhat on board on that, which is really tragic. There's another article that was came out today, and well, I think I'll start with this other one first. Y'all probably heard about North Carolina, and they were standing up against the transvestite bathroom mandates from the federal government. It was this that I was wrong about Governor Moore. I got these mixed up. It was the governor of North Carolina that sued the federal government because they were trying to. He saw the writing on the wall. They gave him just a matter of days to acquiesce. He knew if he didn't, they were going to sue him, so he sued them first. And then they, yesterday, countersued him. And this is to do with the Justice Department of North Carolina filing dual lawsuits over the bathroom law. The Justice Department and North Carolina filed dueling lawsuits Monday over the state's controversial bathroom law, with the Obama administration answering an early morning lawsuit filed by Republican Governor Pat McCrory with legal action of its own. In a suit filed late Monday in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina, the Department of Justice alleged a pattern or practice of employment discrimination on the basis of sex against the state over the law requiring transgender people to use bathrooms that correspond with the sex of their birth certificate. Do you believe sometimes that we're living in the twilight zone? I mean, all that they want to do is to do what has been done for as long as people can remember, I'm sure, is that the ladies go in one direction when they use the restroom, the men go in the other. And now this is considered discrimination because our federal government and the current administration is elevating and celebrating perversion to the detriment and to the overruling of God-given rights of the people. That's what's happening. And it's blatant. I saw Loretta Lynch when she was on TV giving this nonsense. And I could hardly believe my ears of what they're saying. They are 100% all on board of the LGBT, and they're celebrating these perversions, and they're not backing down. In fact, what we're going to see, this issue that happened in North Carolina is now going to be nationwide. In other words, when the U.S. Attorney General gets on TV and is saying this to North Carolina, it's going to be in effect for the entire nation. That's how fast this grew. The suit was filed after McCrory and his lawsuit accused the administration of a baseless and blatant overreach in trying to get the policy scrapped. North Carolina governor on lawsuit filed against the Department of Justice over the bathroom bill. This is an attempt to unilaterally rewrite long-established federal civil rights laws. This is what she's saying. This is what Loretta Lynch was saying. This is an attempt to unilaterally rewrite long-established federal civil rights law in a manner that is wholly inconsistent with the intent of Congress and disregards decades of statutory interpretation by the courts, the state suit filed U.S. District Court in Eastern District of North Carolina. No, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's McCrory speaking. He said McCrory, speaking at his own press conference, said Congress should get involved and bring clarity to the federal anti-discrimination provisions, but urge the court to intervene in the current dispute in the meantime. Now, that's where I don't agree with him. He says, McCrory said that he's urging Congress to get involved and bring clarity to the federal anti-discrimination provisions. Let's think about this a moment. Loretta Lynch hasn't been in her job for very long, so we can remember that she was appointed by Barack Obama. But he cannot appoint him without the Senate okaying it. They have to confirm his appointment. So they have just as much responsibility in that sense as Obama does to have such a ghastly person in there that is contrary to all of our Christian values, our freedom, our heritage, all that. They are the one that confirmed her. And now McCrory is saying, we need to go to them to get clarity on this issue. I think not. I think that they will dodge the issue, and if they do anything, it's going to be what's politically expedient and what goes along with whatever line of least resistance, which means going along with the current administration, which they've done ever since they've got in there, even though they told the people, they lied to the people, that they were going to shut all this down, which they have not. Now, why? I need to make a point at this. So we're not saying to go to the Congress to get clarity. They're not going to get clarity from the Congress. They're going to get the runaround. They're going to get the double talk. They're not going to get clarity. And in the long run, they're going to capitulate like they always do. So going to the Congress is not the answer. And going to the court, suing the federal government, isn't the answer either. Because if the Supreme Court, if you're waiting to get justice there, if you're wanting to get some rational decision there, we've shown in the last two decisions that they made, the major decisions of okaying Obamacare and same-sex marriage, and they want to go to that court and put it in their hands? I think not. So what is the remedy? That's what we've been studying on the foundation, a biblical foundation of the Constitution in Publius Huldah's paper on nullification. All that the governor of North Carolina has to do is say, this is unconstitutional, it's not an enumerated power, we will not do it. And don't come down here and try to enforce it, because if you do, we'll throw you in jail. That's all he has to do. That's all any of them have to do. They have the authority and power to do it. And most of them, I don't know if they're ignorant or just afraid or just politically expedient. At least this North Carolina governor is trying to do something, just like our Texas governor is trying to do something, Greg Abbott, but he's doing the same thing that he's doing, and that's going to the courts. I'm telling you, they don't have to go to the courts. All they have to do is say, No, you're outside of your delegated authority. We will not go against our oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, even if you do. That's what they need to do, and the people need to back them. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's what should happen. This is not just a North Carolina issue. This is now a national issue, he said. We believe a court, rather than a federal agency, should tell our state, our nation, and employers across the country what the law requires. Do you understand how that too? He's looking to, he says, I believe a court, rather than a federal agency, should tell our state and our nation across the country what the law requires. Well, I agree with him. The last people we should have to comply with are people in the agencies of a department. Department of State have agencies. And now the agencies come up with this discrimination suit and this what they're saying. Certainly we shouldn't have to obey agencies, because what they have is only regulations, and regulations are not law. The bona fide law, I'm going to say this again, for a law to be lawful, bona fide, and require our submission, it first of all has to be moral, it has to be just, and it has to be constitutional. And it has to come from the Congress. Why? Because Article 1, Section 1, all legislation will be vested in the Congress of the United States. Doesn't say anything about agency, does it? Doesn't say anything about courts, does it? That's the only legitimate laws. Now, there are a lot of laws that the Congress has passed that are immoral, they are unjust, and they are unconstitutional, and yet they're still in the books and people are complying with them. And that's why the people get the government that they deserve, because they should know better. They should recognize this. God holds us accountable for standing for righteousness and not complying with evil, and not just going along with those who would take away our liberties and force upon us to take our privacy away from us, especially for little girls and women that go into bathrooms and dressing rooms and showers, and a male could just go in there and say, well, I feel like a female today, and just saunter right on in there. That is what they are protecting. And that is a perversion. And with this transgender business, if you go back far enough, what the real problem is people have gotten so far away from God that when someone comes up and says, well, you know, I really feel like I'm a female. It might be a male, but he feels like he's a female. So God obviously made a mistake in making him male. And everybody cows down to this. Less than 4% of the population identifies themselves as homosexual and lesbian. And so all of this is going, 97% of the population of this nation is to cater and acquiesce to the perversions that are being forced on us for 3.8% of the people. So, he says, this is not just a North Carolina issue, this is now a national issue, he said. We believe a court, rather than a federal agency, should tell our state, our nation, and employers across the country what the law requires. Well, how about Judge Roy Moore? He has a court. He's a judge. He's one of the very few that has spoken out and stood his ground. He is a hero. And what do? They remove him from office from some Alabama judicial commission. What is that? What does that have to do with the Constitution? And they're overthrowing someone who is constitutional, who is abiding by it. The Constitution. And he says, in an on-the-record interview Monday night with Fox News, Greta Van Susteren of McCrory, that's the governor, pointed at the federal government needing to get involved to make clear rules for states on the legal definition of gender identity. What right does the federal government have in interfering and intruding in what the states are doing as far as the laws that they make? The federal government is out of their jurisdiction. They're out of their mind in what they are trying to produce these days, and that is a LGBT transgendered society that everybody is fine with. And I'm wondering how many pastors are as offended and outraged as I am. Because this is going to hit you. It's going to hit me. Because this is a national thing. And it might be that someday some person comes in here, some male, and he goes into the women's restroom. What do you think is going to happen if he does that? How long do you think he's going to last? Huh? But then he says, "Oh well, okay. Well, they'll put a lawsuit on the church and say you broke the law and all that. What, this is going to happen. This is what we are facing because they will not stop. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. It's time for Christians to stand up and push back and say no. This is a perversion. You don't even hear people saying homosexuality is a ghastly sin." Transgenders are confused. They're probably mentally off. And for us to cater to them, what do you think God thinks about this? And for this atrocity to happen, and the pastors stay mute about it? We don't need the federal government to get involved to make clear rules for our states on legal definition of gender identity. You know what? Gender identity is if you have male apparatus, you're a male, and if you have female apparatus, you're a female. Place closed. That's all there is to it. But now we have we need the federal government to come in and make clear rules for the states on legal definition of gender identity. I think God already closed the case on that. They're trying to discuss on what is gender identity. I don't mean to be crude, but all you have to do is look down and you can tell. The U.S. Congress kind of ignored it, and now the Obama administration is interpreting an existing law. He said, "I think, frankly, Congress needs to deal with this to have a consistent message throughout the United States," he added. Okay, where is gender identification mentioned in the federal Constitution? Can anybody say where marriage is mentioned? Health care is not mentioned. Does anybody know the 10th Amendment? Anybody heard of the 10th Amendment? The powers not granted to the federal government nor prohibited to the states are reserved for the states are the people. That means if it's not stipulated specifically, it's reserved to the states or the people. Has that been rescinded? No. It's still in force. But you know, just writing on a piece of paper, even when it's called the Constitution, means nothing if the people are ignorant or don't have the courage and the righteousness to enforce it. Otherwise, it's just a piece of paper with ink on it. The state had faced a Department of Justice imposed Monday deadline to respond to its demand that North Carolina either scrap the law or face legal action, risk losing funds. So they gave them 3 days to comply with this mandate. 3 days. Takes them 3 days to figure out what they're going to have for lunch. And now Lynch is doing what they always do. They're going to pay the rescind federal funds card. Lynch said Monday that as the case moves forward, they retain the option of curtailing federal funding to the state of the Department of Public Safety and the University of North Carolina. Now, since Lynch made her statement, it's all universities in this country, if they don't comply with letting males go into all the female facilities, or females go into all male, if they don't do that, they're threatening to take away their funds. And they have been hooked on them. Most of these universities, they don't think they can survive without federal funds. The state law also limits state anti-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people and blocks local governments from establishing their own. House Bill 2 has been criticized by gay groups and entertainers, including Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam. We can't have them criticizing what our stand, can we? Who in the heck is Pearl Jam anyway? You know what? Never heard of them. Well, Bruce Springsteen, I expect that from him. He says they have canceled shows. PayPal reversed plans to open 400 employee operation centers in Charlotte, and the Deutsche Bank froze expansion plans near Raleigh. Nearly 200 corporate leaders from across the country, including Charlotte-based Bank of America, have urged the law's repeal, arguing it's bad for the business because it makes recruiting talented employees more difficult. These are the people and the companies in North Carolina wanting to rescind their state constitution to comply with the federal government's bullying of the transgender agenda. Do you think that we're not in desperate times? Several other states have opposed similar laws in recent months limiting protections to lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people. On Monday, the American Civil Liberties Union of Mississippi sued that state over a law that will allow workers to cite their own religious objections to same-sex marriage to deny services to people. McCrory says that North Carolina applies only to government offices, universities, and roadside rest stops, not bathrooms in the state. Not every bathroom in the state. Well, the federal government will take care of that. They're not going to leave anyone alone. The Justice Department, though, had sent McCrory a letter last Wednesday stating the law violates federal civil rights law. Now, this is a crock, right? So, 1964 civil rights law. That's what they're saying, that their charges are that North Carolina has offended, or what was the word they used?
Violated civil rights.
Yeah, they violated the civil rights laws. 1964. How many people were talking about transgender identity, gender identity and transgenders in 1964? Zero. No one. They had never heard of it. That's 50 years ago. If you said, what is your gender identity to somebody, they look at you, are you from this planet? And yet they're taking those laws and they would just add in there transgenderism as well, and now they're trying to say that this is discrimination in the universities and in the schools and in the government places, and it's going to be in churches, it's going to be all over, that they're trying to force us. That's what they're using, is the 1964 and 65 civil rights law. You know how absolutely ridiculous that is. So the governor, speaking over the weekend, Fox News Sunday, said he asked the department for an extension, but was only until the close of business Monday. He said, I don't think 3 working days is enough time for such a pretty big threat. It's the federal government being a bully making a law. And by the way, the 1964 Civil Rights Act has nothing to do with what's going on now. So they have to just invent something and call it a violation of a law. Claiming that someone has violated a law when they haven't violated it, they didn't know what it was then, is no different than making a law, is it? I mean, if you make a law that's, and it's not the Congress doing it, then it's not a law, is it? Why is that? Article 1, Section 1, all legislation shall be vested in the Congress of the United States. Legislation is lawmaking. But what they've done is they've created these unconstitutional departments. Do you know how many there are? How many? 27. There's 27 departments in the executive branch of our government. 27 departments with hundreds of agencies. And these agencies are making thousands of regulations. And every one of them have the power of law when they're not a law. And they have their agents to enforce them, and they have their courts to adjudicate them. Surely that all has to be fair. There would certainly be no collusion. And he said the administration warning means the issue is no longer confined to North Carolina. This is not just a North Carolina, said McCrory, arguing that every university that accepts federal funding is now in the same situation as those in the state. Did you get that? How many universities accept federal funding? I don't know, but it's a lot of them. Probably most of them. Probably nearly all of them. And so the federal government is going to say, okay, you don't comply with what we say, we're going to withdraw your funding. Meanwhile, the administration is expected to soon take the bathroom issue further to ensure that transgender students' rights are fully protected under federal law, according to Politico. The move reportedly would be related to a federal law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in federally funded education programs and activities, and multiple agencies are expected to be involved. Do you see the threat? Do you see the danger in this? I knew that we were going to have a rough time in the last year of the current administration. I saw it coming. I said, when they were talking about who's going to be president in 2016, I said, we got a whole year before that, and a lot of things can happen. And they are pushing hard, and this is one of the most dastardly things. One other quick article says, Loretta Lynch states can't insist a man is a man and a woman is a woman if person feels otherwise. That's the title. This came out by CNS, by Susan Jones today. The U.S. Justice Department is putting the feelings of transgender men who think they are women and women who think they are men above privacy rights and the vast majority of people who don't contest the biological facts of who they actually are. You understand that? It's this 3.5% that are identified with LGBT. Out of that number, how many are actually transgender? It might be less than 1%. What we must never do, is turn our neighbors, our family members, our fellow Americans for something that they cannot control and deny what makes them human. That's what Attorney General Lynch said. Did any of us see it?
I saw it.
I thought I was going to have to get a barf bag before it was over. That's what she says. We don't ever want to turn on our neighbors, our fellow Americans, for something they cannot control and deny what makes them human. So if you have a girl that thinks she's a boy, then she can't control that. That's just like being homosexual. They can't control that. That's what they're continually, this drumbeat of propaganda, garbage, nonsense. The young people are hearing that, they're buying into it, and they look at us as Christians now as hypocritical reprobates because we're not loving and accepting the poor, mistreated homosexuals. She goes on to say, none of us can stand by when the state enters the business of legislating identity and insist that a person pretend to be something or someone they are not. The state can't just stand there when they say, I'm a A man says, I'm a female. Says, the stage just can't stand by and pretend that something is... When they say that they are a opposite sex, even though their anatomy says otherwise, we just can't stand by and let people force them to go into the bathrooms of what they're actually, their gender is. But Lynch was referring to people who in fact are pretending to be something biologically they are not. A man identifying as a woman is not a biological woman. And likewise, a woman identifying as a man is not a biological man. Until now, that is, when the federal government has determined that biological facts matter less than wishes and feelings. By the way, I don't care what a surgeon does to you, what they add on or take off. Your DNA in your body is still 100% male or female. If you start out with male DNA, you're still a male. I don't care what the appendages or apparatuses they do. You still have a DNA as a male because that's what God assigned to you. Lynch announced the federal civil rights lawsuit against North Carolina because of the state's now new law, HB 2, House Bill 2, which requires transgender people in public facilities to use the bathroom consistent with their sex as noted at birth rather than restrooms that fit their gender identity. Is that, and if you object to that, then you're discriminating, you're a bigot, you're, sometimes they would say you are a racist. This came hours after North Carolina sued the Justice Department for their radical reinterpretation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which would prevent plaintiffs from protecting the bodily privacy of state employees while accommodating the needs of transgender state employees. You see, you can't give these transgenders what they want and leave normal people, people that aren't in la-la land trying to decide what they really are, you can't give them without intruding upon the privacy and the freedom of the other people. And so they're taking 97% of the people and say, we're going to take away your privacy and endanger you in order to satisfy 3.8% of the people. Only the transgenders would be even a lot less than that. Much of the outcry over this issue comes from people who are not confused about their gender, as noted at birth, and who also simply seek to engage in the most private functions in a place of safety and security. Many women in particular object to sharing restrooms with men who supposedly identify as a woman. And there is, by the way, there is no test. There is no record that they have to show that they went through surgery. They don't even have to be dressed like a woman. They can just saunter in there and people, women might start screaming. They say, it's okay, I feel like a woman today. And they get, that's it. Tomorrow maybe I'll feel like a man. Maybe tomorrow I'll go in the man's. But today I'm a woman. This is about the dignity and respect that we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as people and as a country have enacted to protect them. Indeed, to protect all of us. And it's about the founding... Now, this is Lynch saying this. She's saying this transgenderism. Listen to what she says. This is a quote. And it's about the founding ideals that we had led, that we led to this country... No, let's see. I skipped a paragraph. Where is it here? Okay. She says... This is about dignity and respect we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as a people, as a country, have enacted to protect them, indeed to protect all of us. She's talking about the transgenders, to protect them. And then she says, and it's about the founding ideals that have led to this country halting, but inexorably in the direction of fairness, inclusion, and equality for all Americans. She is identifying this with the founding ideals of our country. That's what she just said. I think there's mental illness here to say that this transgender idea is going into the restrooms and showers and everything is about the founding ideals that have led to this country, to what we are. Lynch said North Carolina's discriminatory response to transgender is no different than discrimination against blacks and homosexuals. So she's saying, if you discriminate a transgender, she's identifying that with the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Now, some of these responses reflect recognizably human fear of the unknown and discomfort with the uncertainty of change, but this is not a time to act out of fear. This is a time to summon our national virtues, inclusivity, and diversity of compassion and open-mindedness. She is not short on words. She uses all that, and it's abhorrent. And what we must not do, what we must never do, is turn our neighbors and family members, our fellow Americans, for something that they cannot control or deny what makes them human. And this is why none of us can stand by when a state enters the business of legislating identity and insists that a person pretend to be something or someone that they are not, or invents a problem that does not exist as a pretext for discrimination and harassment. Oh, this is just insufferable. I mean, if you would have heard her saying this, it's worse. Then she says, that is not just the case, she insisted. Instead, what the law does is inflict further indignity on a population, that's the state law, further indignity on a population that has already suffered more than its fair share. And she's talking about the population of transgenders. This law provides no benefit to society, and all it does is harm innocent Americans. And instead of turning away from our neighbors, our friends, and our colleagues, let us instead learn from our history and avoid repeating the mistakes of our past. And she's talking about discrimination against blacks and comparing that to trying to defend your privacy and your dignity and being safe when you go into a restroom or changing clothes or a shower. Okay, don't have much time. These are, do you know what a blog is? Usually after these articles, they have some blogs. And a blog is just where someone comments. And after this long, all this blather that we heard here, it's nice to hear someone actually say something clearly that we can understand. So I've got three, and a blog is usually just a sentence or two. So this is the first blog that came on after, below this article. It said, clinical lycanthropy is defined as a rare psychiatric syndrome that involves a delusion that the affected person is a non-human animal. That's called lycanthropy. But if a person believes that they are a male or a female trapped in the opposite sex's body, they're considered normal? Question mark. Here's the next blog. It's a horrible system where we have allowed laws that go against the Constitution to flourish by not stopping them at the start and allowing the fiasco of restriction to actually pass. I am not being represented in government and I'm sick of it. The last one here. Since when is it appropriate to start telling 99.9% of Americans that we have to change because of someone's mental disorder and that we have to subject our children and loved ones' safety to the outbursts of someone's feelings? This is ridiculous. America is falling apart and we have people with mental issues on the front of the news sites all over the place. This was all I did was take a title here. It says, this was from Canada. The headline is, court orders dad to start treating his 11-year-old daughter as a boy. And I just scanned the article a little bit, and the article said that father had to start calling the 11-year-old girl that said that she is a boy now by her male name that she made up and used male pronouns when referring to the little girl. And if he doesn't, he could be fined and thrown in prison. Mm-hmm. That's in Canada. Now here's one in. This is just something that I saw it on Texas Values. This is just a little organization, maybe not so little. It says, on April 26th, superintendent of the Fort Worth Independent School District unilaterally issued new so-called transgender student guidelines at the Board of Trustees meeting dictating serious and dangerous new policies effective immediately that actually affect all students. These new guidelines would threaten the safety and privacy of children in all Fort Worth schools by opening little girls' bathrooms and locker rooms to boys. Further, the guidelines were not debated, discussed, or voted on at any board meeting. Parents and taxpayers have been shut out of the process. This is one person. He is, just give his name. He is the superintendent of the Fort Worth Independent School District. It says the guidelines, many of which actually violate Texas law, Texas state law, say employees of the district will be punished if they do not go along with all of the new guidelines and that clearly violate not only common sense, but First Amendment speech and religious liberty rights. They can no longer use the word boy and girl and must abandon gender references. Information about the student's gender expression on campus will be withheld from parents. No medical or mental health diagnosis is required in order to have a student claim an identity and therefore have full rights to the opposite sex locker rooms, bathrooms, etc.
Dan Patrick
picked up on this. Yeah. Now, I'm just giving you a few. I mean, I could go on the internet and find you dozens more of these. And I'm wondering, what is it going to take for the people of this country to say enough? When are they going to demand righteousness from their leaders? What I suspect will happen with this in Fort Worth, in Canada, and all these other things that are happening in our country where Christians are being forced to either back down or be fined and incarcerated. And I don't know if people are just that ignorant. They don't know what's going on. I heard someone tell me recently that the problems of this nation, the only way that we're going to have a solution is spiritual. And I agree with that. But not the way the person who was saying it meant it. He meant we have to stay out of politics. We can't, the pastors can't get too political because there's only a spiritual solution. And to those people, I ask them, is God pleased when you comply with evil? Is God pleased when you just stand back and or stay in your churches and say all that other stuff out there is not for us to be concerned with, because that's Christian activism. We just have to pray and believe that God is going to take care of things. That's why it's so important that we happen to be in the book of Amos right now, isn't it? God is going to clean house. And all of these people who are politically correct. By the way, I have a little something here about politically correct. I'm going to end on this. I had this little bit right here. There's an ongoing attack on the foundation of America. An attack on what has been true for hundreds of years. An attack on morality and decency which reflect biblical principles of the Bible. An attack on the very definitions of words and principles. For instance, hate crime. That's insane. They're going to incarcerate you and punish you more because what you're thinking as you're committing a crime? What that means is now the government can not only punish you for what you do, but what you think. And people are on board with that. Assault rifle. I refuse to say assault rifles. I like to call them freedom weapons. It's the same gun, but when you say assault weapon, the way they do it, it's horrible. Well, why can't we just change it and not go along with their verbicide of changing the meaning of our words and say freedom rifle? Income equality. The only way you can have income equality is if you're under tyranny or you're a slave. Sexual preference, but now sexual orientation. Did you get that? When they first started, it wasn't sexual orientation. Y'all remember that? They said, we have a right to our sexual preference. But then that wasn't working so well because people said, okay, you're the one that chose it. Now they say it's sexual orientation because we don't have a preference. We were born that way. Gender identity. As if that's an issue. As if we got to struggle with that one. Global warming now is climate change. They had to call off some of their global warming conferences because the roads were frozen over. The ice was everywhere. So now it's climate change. Illegal aliens are now undocumented migrants. Effectively legalized. Remember Sunday? And the writer? Saying when the Supreme Court effectually legalized same-sex marriage, what is that? It's political correctness. Some call this political correctness. I can think of more accurate terms. Would you like to hear them? I've got 1 minute. Do you want to hear it? I think of that more accurate terms of political correctness is brainwashing, propaganda, indoctrination, programming, manipulating, conditioning, verbicide in a word is not a real word. What's his name up in Missouri?
Griffin.
Joe Griffin. What he calls it verbicide. The verbicide is genocide on a language.
Amen.
Verbicide, balderdash, hogwash, and rubbish, I think are more accurate terms. The current administration of our government is not only elevating and celebrating perversion, it's trying to force it upon we the people in defiance of God in our Constitution. We better wake up, folks. We need to pray all the more. But we need to speak out. We have things that are powerful things on our side, like the Constitution, that we're not using, and we're listening to the sirens of all the things that are contrary to it. Say it one more time so you remember it. I'm going to say it more. But the two trump cards that we hold is, number one, the Bible, with God being the authority over the whole universe. You're not going to trump Him. The other trump card is the Constitution. The Constitution and the laws pursuant thereof are the highest law in the land. So when someone tries to make a case to make you go accept this all this garbage, they try to do something that is just, unjust, immoral, ungodly, whatever it may be, and they say they can point to a so-called law. It's not a law. This is not rabble-rousing. This is what's going to save our country, but it takes knowledge. That's what Publius said, remember? What can we do? Number one thing, knowledge. And once we have the knowledge, then we have to pray to the Lord to give us discernment and the courage to stand for it. And I believe if enough people would do that, He would be on our side. It might turn things around. Short of that, you know what we got forward to look to? Just read Amos. These people thought that they could defy God, that they could go along with the injustice and evil of the leaders. He wiped them out. I'm at past time. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are our God. We can pray to you for help and guidance, and you hear us. But we pray that you'll give us a malleable heart. We will be ready to do what is necessary, even if it's not pleasant, even if it's dangerous. We need to live our lives in order to satisfy you, not to comply with evil, adulterated nonsense. So we pray that you will help us to learn more so that we can be good and faithful servants. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Mike, in 64, when Lyndon Johnson, our great Texan, fastened the